Inshallah, in this afternoon's discourse, slightly different compared to normal, where while we will be talking, we will be side by side showing a practical demonstration of how to perform the wudu as well as the salah. The reason for this is because many a times we perform the wudu and perform salah, but sometimes in our wudu, negligence, and even in our salah, which renders our salah not even complete and acceptable because of the wudu not being completed and done correctly. And with regards to the salah as well, we need to understand and we need to know the postures, how to go in ruku, sajda, etc. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes mention in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, idha kumtum ila salah, when you stand up to perform salah, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ, then you wash your face, وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ, and then you will wash your arms until the elbows, وَمْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ, and then you will make masah of the quarter of the head, وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ, and then you will wash your feet until and including the ankles. So these four postures refers to the fard, the obligatory acts of wudu. Now we need to make sure, although these are the acts that are fard and compulsory in wudu, over and above that we try and perform the sunnah wudu, which there is great reward in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So before making wudu and getting ready to perform our wudu, the first thing we should do is our intention. Why are we making, or why are we performing wudu? Either performing of salah, reciting the Quran. Remember, with reciting the Quran, a person doesn't have to be in wudu, but when he touches the Quran, then the person has to be in the state of wudu. So whatever intention a person makes, he will make it verbally or in his heart, and in that way, after that is complete, then when we are getting ready to perform the wudu, then the first thing we should do is to make the dua, which is Bismillah walhamdulillah. We commence our wudu was making the dua, and after making the dua, the first thing after that, we will wash our hands, including our wrists, making sure that we wash our right hand first, and then our left hand, and every part like these that are double, that is our hands, our feet, we will wash all those parts three times, which is the sunnah. And while we are making wudu, many people who have ring, what we should do is first we remove the ring, so in that way we make sure that the water reaches every part of the parts that we're going to be washing. So we remove it and we make our wudu. And if for some reason or the other a person cannot remove his ring, maybe it's very tight or whatever it might be, then while putting the water there, making sure that he rotates the ring in making sure that the water reaches the skin beneath. Because if any part is left dry, then the wudu will be incomplete and a person cannot even perform salah in that manner, which will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after making the, or washing the hands, then the next thing we should do is to make miswak, which is a forgotten sunnah. Try and make miswak from the right to the left, on top and at the bottom. There's many and numerous benefits with regards to making the miswak. After that is complete, then we gargle three times, putting water into our mouth, and we gargle either lifting our heads up or even within keeping our heads down and making sure that the water reaches the inner part of the mouth. After that is complete, then we take water in our right hands, put it into our nostrils, and then we use our little finger, the baby finger, and the thumb, cleaning our nostrils. And we do this act as well three times. After that is complete, then we take water again, washing our face. And when we're washing our face, making sure that where the hairline is, the water reaches there as well as every part around just before the commencement of the ears and beneath the chin, right? And in that way, we wash every part, washing those parts three times. And those of us that have the beards, we're talking about the males, the females, there's no beard to worry about. But for the males that have beards and very dense hair on the face, then making sure that the water reaches the skin beneath if it's a very short beard. But if it's a thick beard, then there's no need for the water to reach the skin beneath. So in that way, we wash our face three times. After washing the face three times, making khilal of the beard. And if we don't have the beard, then obviously we're going to be living or losing out on the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in making khilal of the beard and also keeping the beard, which is the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So after that is complete, then we're making sure that we find, even with our students, when we do the practical, many of them don't even lift the sleeves up, right up, so that when they're making the wudu, the water reaches the elbow. So what happens, they lift the sleeves up to this extent and making wudu in this manner, washing these parts, but not realizing that as we're going to be doing the other postures, the sleeve is going to cause the water to dry up, and till the end, all these parts should be wet. So if these parts are dry, then wudu will be incomplete. So negligence also on that part, making sure that the sleeves are lifted up enough, washing the elbow, including the elbow as well, and even slightly more than that. So you do this three times on the right hand, three times on the left hand as well, always starting on the right, which is the sunnah, and then we go on to the left hand side. So after that is complete, then we go on to the masah. So before getting to the masah, then we washing, putting water in our hands again, and while we're doing this, we need to listen attentively to this part, because many a times we find many students, even the elderly people, are not making the masah in the correct manner. So the correct manner will be that when you are making the masah, right, you will make sure that all these parts are wet, as well as behind the hand, because we're going to be using every part of it while making the masah, putting water into the ears, and making masah of the nape as well. So when we are making the masah, we make sure that our fingers are placed in this manner. So when I'm going to remove my topi, so make you understand and you know exactly how it should be done. So we take the three fingers of both the hands, and we're going to make masah like this, from the front going right up to the back. And when we come back, we're going to use our palms coming forward. After that, the index finger and the thumb has not been used as yet. So we put the fingers into our ears and we go around the ear inside, and then the thumb will go behind the ear. And after that is complete, then we're going to make masah. So every part of both the hands have been used. So we use the three fingers going from front to the back, coming back with our palms, using the index finger and the thumb, cleaning or washing the inside, the inner part of the ear, and thereafter behind the ear, and then masah of the nape. After that is complete, then we make khilal of the fingers, with the right first and then the left. After that is complete, then we're going to wash our feet, starting again on the right hand side. And when we're washing our feet, making sure that the ankles are wet, because many a times that is also another spot where the students, as well as elderly people, when they are making wudu, they don't take extra care, and that portion of the ankle is dry. So making sure that that is washed completely and correctly. And then when we are making khilal of the toes, we use our left hand, starting from the small toe, coming to the big toe. After that is complete, then we start washing the left foot, making sure also the ankle is washed and no part is left dry. And when we are making khilal there as well, we use the left hand, starting from the big toe, coming to the small toe. And while making wudu also, we need to recite the dua. Wherever we are washing the face, busy with our arms, Allahumma fir li dhambi, oh Allah, forgive my sins. Wa wasi' li fi dari, and grant me a spacious home. Wa barik li fi rizqi, and grant me rizq, sustenance. So imagine this great dua of ours, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we read this dua while making wudu. We all need that. We want barakah. Allahumma barik, Allahumma fir li dhambi, oh Allah, forgive my sins. Wa wasi' li fi dari, we all want a spacious home. Sometimes a person can have a small home, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants so much of space in it, and he's content with it, and that is what we need to bring in our life, contentment, and be thankful for whatever little Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. And then when we complete the dua, Allahumma fili dhambi wa sili fi dari wa barik li fi rizqi, and grant me barakah in whatever you have granted sustenance to me, whether whatever little or lot, Allah will grant us barakah in it. So after that is concluded, then we read the dua after wudu. Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawabin. O Allah, make us of those who repent. Wa ja'alni min al-mutatahirin, and those that are pure and clean. And then we recite the dua saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abdu wa rasulu, testifying that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah, and Sayyiduna Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a servant and messenger of Allah. And if a person after that recites Surah Qadr, inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr, till the end, the reward and the benefit of this is that Allah will grant him the opportunity to enter Jannah from whichever door he wishes to enter. Subhanallah. So that is the benefit of the du'as that we recite, and we will get entrance into Jannah from whichever door we wish to enter from. So just make sure that while we are making wudu, every part is wet until the completion of wudu. And if for some reason or the other, after we have completed the wudu and somebody tells us, you know what, there's a little bit, it's dry there on your elbow, on your ankle, there is no need to repeat the wudu, but rather just to go and wash those parts which are left dry. So that is the complete wudu and following the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala performing the salah, firstly we must dress accordingly. We are standing not in front of any human being. We're not standing in front of a famous sportsman or the president of the country. We are standing in front of our creator, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So we stand and dress up in the correct manner, in showing humbleness and showing respect to who we are going to be conversing with, that is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the first thing when we start, again the intention, whatever salah we're going to perform, whether it's sunnah, whether it's nafil, whether it's a wajib salah, whatever salah it might be, we make the intention. Now for example, we're going to be performing the Jummah salah later on, and before that we will be performing the four sunnah. So we make the intention, oh Allah, I make the intention to perform four rakat sunnah of Jummah salah for your pleasure. To face the Qibla, to say that, there's no requirement, but if a person is used to saying that, that is fine. And you can say the intention in any language, whichever language, English, Afrikaans, Zulu, whatever it might be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands all languages. So whichever language, even in Arabic, if a person wants to say it, is fine. So after making the intention, now when we make the takbir tahrima, when we're lifting our hands, we make sure that it is straight, facing the Qibla, not bent, not like this. And it doesn't necessarily have to touch the earlobes, but if it touches it, it's fine. So these are all what we're going to mention, the sunnah of the salah. So when we perform the sunnah of the salah, it will enhance the reward and greater reward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we don't do it for some reason or the other, maybe we have a problem, we cannot go into ruku correctly, or for whatever reason, we've got a valid reason or valid excuse, then the salah will be valid, but no need to repeat the salah. We're just mentioning the sunnah so that we can attain more rewards that is kept in store for us, because we need the rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody here in this gathering can say, you know what, I have enough rewards, I will just complete the fard and I'm done with it. Whether it's wudu, whether it's salah, we have to fulfill all these actions in salah to get great reward from our performance of wudu as well as salah. So when we lift our hands in takbir tahrima, making sure that our fingers are facing towards the qibla, not necessarily like we had mentioned, touching the earlobe, but if it touches, it's fine. So when we say Allahu Akbar, then when we're going to be tying our hands below the navel, this is all according to the Hanafi madhab, because majority of those that are gathered here this afternoon are Hanafi madhab, so we'll mention that. And for Shafi madhab, we'll mention it as well. So when we make the takbir tahrima, making sure the three fingers are like this, and then the small finger and the thumb around and below the navel. So that is the Hanafi madhab. So I'm just going to show you, making sure that the three fingers are like this. The small finger and the thumb doesn't have to touch also. It should be this around the hand and below the navel. So the Shafi madhab will be slightly different, where they will lift their hands up in line with their shoulders and will cap on the chest. And those that need more clarity and more about it, they can just find out from the Shafi ulama, and they will guide you in that regard. So after that is complete, what is the first thing a person should recite? The thana, which is Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa tabarakasmuk wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruk. After that, reciting ta'awud and tasmiyah, that is a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, and then the surah Fatiha and the surah. And if we join the imam, that is when we're performing salah with congregation, then if we commence the salah from takbir tahrima with the imam, then when we make the takbir tahrima, we will recite the thana. And during the course of the surah Fatiha and the surah, whether it is Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, Juma, whatever salah it might be, we will not recite anything. We will listen attentively to the imam, and if it's salah like Dhuhr and Asr salah, there's nothing to worry about. You just remain silent and you be quiet while performing salah. The Shafi madhab is slightly different, where after the surah Fatiha is read by the imam, they will recite surah Fatiha. They got there's a narration which says that they should perform or recite the surah Fatiha, because if they don't read the surah Fatiha, the salah will not be complete. So we go the Hanafi madhab, there's a verse of the Quran where Allah makes mention, وَإِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, that when the Quran is being recited, listen attentively to the Quran so that the mercy of Allah can come upon you. So after the Surah Fatiha and Surah is complete, then the Imam goes in ruku. So when we go into ruku, making sure that our fingers are spread out and we go into the ruku, clutching onto our knees and making sure that the back is straight. If for some reason or the other, the back is not straight, that's fine. Elderly people, people who got back problem, even sometimes youngsters got some injury or whatever it might be. So if you cannot go into ruku completely, it's fine. But make sure after your sickness or your injury, you make sure that the ruku is completed in the correct manner. And when we go into ruku and we're following the imam, we follow the imam every posture, right? So in that way, that is why it's called the imam. Imam means leader, so you follow the leader, the imam. You cannot go before the imam as well. This is a serious and severe consequences for those people who go ahead or before the imam in the different postures. If you go ahead of the imam, you still have to wait for the imam. So there's no need for you to hurry and go before the imam in ruku or in any other posture for that matter. So when the imam goes into ruku, you follow the imam in ruku. After the ruku or while in the ruku, the imam will recite the tasbih Subhana Rabbil Azim thrice, and those that are following the imam now in this or in the other postures after this, we will recite the tasbih and whatever other relevant du'as. So we recite the tasbih Subhana Rabbil Azim three times, and there's also other du'as that we recite in light of the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam we had mentioned. After coming out from the ruku, the imam will recite and say Sami Allahu liman hamida, and we the followers will recite Rabbana lakal hamd. And another sunnah du'a to recite is Rabbana lakal hamd hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. And making sure from ruku to qawma, from ruku to standing, we stand upright. If we don't have any problem and no issues, then we stand upright. We should not just like, you know, from ruku, stand halfway and then go into sajda. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned to the sahaba that the worst person is the person who steals in salah. How can a person steal in salah when he does not perform the postures correctly in salah? That is a person who steals in salah. So make sure that when we go into ruku and when we come up, we go properly into ruku and we come up fully. For those people who have a problem or whatever, they cannot go into ruku properly or stand up straight, they got some issue, then that is a different story altogether. But for us that got no issue, we make sure that the ruku is done correctly and we render the qawma correctly as well. And then when we go into sajda, our knees will go first. That one we cannot show you here because many people will not see it. So I'll just explain it to you. So when we go into sajda, the knees will go first onto the ground, then our hands, then our nose, and then the forehead. And then when we are in sajda, we recite the tasbih Subhana Rabbiyal A'la three times. There's also other du'as that we can recite. We recite those du'as which is found in the ahadith. And then when we sit between the two sajdas, which is called jalsa, we recite a du'a at that time as well. We've got two du'as. We can either recite Rabbi Firli, oh Allah forgive me, oh Allah forgive me, or the lengthy du'a, Allahumma Firli, Warhamni, Wa'afini, Wahdini, Warzuqni. Right, so we read that du'a also, great du'a where we are seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So we read that dua. Don't go into from sajda into the next sajda without pausing. Because those are the postures where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned all these postures were about the same duration. And then after the first sajda is complete, we read the dua and then we complete the second sajda, reciting the duas as well. So in that way, the first rakat is complete. So our ruku, our qawma that is coming from ruku and going into sajda, the two between the two sajdas, those are the postures where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned they would be the same in duration. So reading the Subhana Rabbil Azim, Subhana Rabbil A'la, Rabbana lakal hamd, hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi, Rabbi ighfirli, Rabbi ighfirli, all these four postures, If we read all these duas, we will make sure and that all these four postures are in the correct manner, and we are not haphazard and fast and leaving out any of the and not doing the postures correctly. So in this way, we make sure that we perform our salah in this manner. And when we follow the imam, remember what we had mentioned, that when we start salah with the imam, we will recite the thana. And if we come in the congregation in the second, third, fourth rakat, or if the imam has completed the recitation of Surah Fatiha and Surah, then there's no need for a person to recite the thana. You will just make the takbir tahrima and remain silent. And when we are behind the imam, we should remain silent when the imam is reciting the Surah Fatiha and Surah. No reason to recite and to read anything. The imam's recitation will suffice for our recitation. We make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that he grants us the true understanding of what has been said, to practice righteous deeds and to abstain from evil. And may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make us of those that punctual at our five daily salah and making sure that our wudu and our salah are in accordance to the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen wa ma'alina illa al-balaghu wa sallallahu sallam wa baraka ala Muhammad. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanakallah wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.